Today on Insight for Living.
Daniel was no stranger to prayer. He didn't flaunt the fact that he was a man of prayer. Notice these windows were open. He didn't suddenly bang them open so everyone would know he was praying. Daniel just quietly walked up to the chamber in his home, and again before God, he poured out his fear, his concern, his future, his life.
Daniel was one of the most familiar and celebrated heroes in the Bible. And even though we think of him as fearless in the presence of kings and unflinching when thrown into a den of lions, behind all these dramatic scenes, we find a man of quiet character and bold conviction. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll presents a one-day study of this man's courageous life. We're looking at the sixth chapter of the Old Testament book that bears his name. Chuck Swindoll titled today's message, The Marks of Integrity.
The book of Daniel is full of 12 chapters of events and stories and whatever about his life, but the most familiar to us is Daniel in the lion's den. As I got older and began to study the story myself, to my surprise, I found out that Daniel was not in the lion's den because of something he did wrong, but because of something he did right. So in Daniel chapter 6, where the story is found, let's turn. The last two verses of chapter 5. The same night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain. And he was slain by the armies of the Medes and the Persians. And the king of the Medes is mentioned here by name. Darius the Mede received the kingdom at about the age of 62. So here is a man in his early 60s who became a king over a land and set up a new dynasty. When the Medes and the Persians took over, there was an instant change from an absolute monarchy to a delegation of authority. Notice the first verse. It seemed good to the king, Darius, to appoint 120 satraps. These were 120 men who shared in the authority over the kingdom. They were governmental officials who served over the kingdom, and they were in charge of the whole kingdom. Over those 120 men, there were three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps or governors might be accountable to them and that the king might not suffer loss. Now, notice in verse 2 that Daniel was one of them. Daniel was one of the three highest men in the land. He not only had seniority, he had superiority over these others. Look at verse 3. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and among the governors because he possessed an extraordinary spirit. And the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Now I want you to study verse 3 with your eyes. In our world, it's not what you know, it's who you know that usually brings about a promotion. But in God's world, it's what you are, not who you know, not even who you are. It's what you are as a person. And God saw fit in the integrity of Daniel's life to move in the heart of the king to plan a promotion. Notice this extraordinary spirit. Now, our tendency is to think in terms of the spiritual life, that he was a spirit-filled man. That's true, but I don't take it to mean that here. I take it to mean an excellent attitude, the first mark of integrity in the life of Daniel. Now, if you want to be a person of integrity, and we hear a lot about integrity these days, and that's good, the place to begin is within your own attitude. It's so easy to build a sham around our lives and to look as though our attitude is good, when in reality it isn't. And one of the first places it shows up is in the realm of our work. I think it's significant that there was no jealousy in Daniel's heart over those other two men who were appointed as commissioners. Now you remember, he could have been threatened, he could have been competitive, he could have been rather nasty and ugly in his responsibilities because he had had the longest time in the kingdom. Long before those men had even come on the scene, he had been an authority under Nebuchadnezzar. But because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Let's read on. Look at the plot that was held against him, or took place against him. First, there were these attempted accusations. Then the commissioners, that is the other two, Daniel's peers, and the governors, the satraps, began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. Now, isn't that significant? Here is a man who is doing a job. He is an excellent attitude. He's an extraordinary spirit. He's serving under God in the responsibility of official government work under Darius. And he's doing apparently a splendid job, and his peers, those who are working around him, set up a spying program against him. They begin to search for some alleged accusations, some real accusations against him. It says that they searched in the area of government affairs. And what did they find? Well, the verse says they could find no ground of accusation. They could find no evidence of corruption. Daniel was investigated to see if they could find anything with regard to his work. That's government affairs. That was his realm of occupation. And the remarkable thing is they could not find one ground of accusation. They could not find one evidence of corruption. And that's not only remarkable, that sounds today like it's impossible. And I think it speaks with real relevance as it says this man was not found guilty of accusation or corruption. Why? Well, here's the second mark of integrity. Because he was faithful in his work. Now be careful here. We often use the word faithful only as it relates to the spiritual life, the religious life. But it's not talking about faithfulness at church or in the temple or in worship. They were investigating his government affairs. They're talking about his faithfulness at work. So much of our time spent in the Word of God from Sunday to Sunday is spent in a very small section of our lives. Not enough time is spent from this pulpit talking about the realm of work where you spend most of your hours. And this passage says that when Daniel was investigated, he was found to be faithful in his work. The Berkeley says, in the discharge of his official duties. Look at Proverbs 20, verses 6 and 7. I don't know, but perhaps some of you came tonight for this very reason, to give yourself a chance to do some analysis in the way you're carrying on in your work. Let's do that this evening. Proverbs 20, verse 6, tells the truth. Many a woman proclaims his own loyalty, but who can find a trustworthy man, a trustworthy woman? It's asked with the answer in mind, it's rare. Only rarely will you find one that is completely trustworthy. I've had a man tell me that in his business, it isn't the public that gives him trouble, it's the employee. It isn't the public that takes his goods, it's those that work for him that rip off the goods that they are to be selling. It's come to the place where many an employee will no longer hire a Christian, an employer. As a matter of fact, when we were living in Texas, we were close friends with the president of a bank. And the highest risk were the preachers. Isn't that significant? Those that gave him most difficulty were those who were engaged continually in the things of God. Now listen and appraise your personal life. Are you trustworthy? Can they count on you to get the job done when the boss isn't there? The verse goes on to say, a righteous man who walks in his integrity, how blessed are his sons after him. He walks in his integrity. Now that's what Daniel 6 is talking about. Daniel was faithful in his work. There was no negligence. There was no corruption found in him. What a man. Faithful in his work. I find in the last part of verse 4 yet another mark of integrity, and that is personal purity. We would say today that they tailed him. They examined him carefully, and they discovered after the examination, after checking his private life as well as his work, that there was no negligence, something that should have been done that wasn't, nor corruption, something that should not have been done but was being done. Neither was there. He was a man of personal purity. They could dig all they want. He came out smelling like a rose. Wouldn't you love to hire a person like that? Wouldn't that be great? Continually, I hear from employers, their number one problem is personnel. Not the public, but finding trustworthy personnel. I shared with some of you a number of months ago when I first came across this story of this that happened over in Long Beach, of a fellow who went into a fried chicken place to get some chicken for him and for the woman he was with. She waited in the car as he picked up the chicken and left, and inadvertently the owner, the manager of the store, had placed in the box the proceeds of the day instead of the chicken. And he was going to make a deposit, and he just camouflaged it by putting it in the fried chicken box, and the guy drove away, and they got to the park, and they opened up the box, and they had a box full of money. And that's a very vulnerable moment for the average individual, and that man realized the mistake, got back in his car, and drove back to the place, and gave him the money back. Why, the manager was so pleased, he said, you stick around. I want to call the newspaper and have them put your picture in it. Oh, no, don't do that. Well, why not? Well, he said, you see, I'm married, and the woman I'm with is not my wife. Now, I think that is a perfect illustration of how on the surface we may look like people of great honesty, great integrity. But, you know, when you get back in the car of your private life, you do some investigation. There's a lot of corruption there. Now, Daniel, they found it was incredible. An excellent attitude, faithfully doing his job at work, an honest man. Third, personally pure, no hypocrisy, nothing to hide. Now, that so frustrated those that were investigating him. Verse 5 tells us they set up a plan. After this plot began to run its course and they couldn't find an accusation, they then determined that they would have an injunction written against him. Look at how they appealed to the vanity of the king. Then these men said, we shall not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel, unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. One thing they had discovered about him when they investigated him is that he was a man of God. They said, look, this man is so consistent in his walk, the only place we're going to trip him up is to use his faith in God against him. And these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king. Notice, by agreement. It was all a conspiracy. It was a planned, arranged program to sell him down the river. And now they appeal to the vanity of the king. King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom, wait a minute, that's a lie. All but one of the commissioners of the kingdom. Daniel didn't know anything about it, but they posed as though Daniel was part of this plan. All of the commissioners, the prefects, the satraps, the high officials, the governors, have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man besides you, O king, for 30 days shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, that's the basis of the lion's den. Found it interesting, just as a sidelight issue, that they didn't want to throw him in a fiery furnace because they were Zoroastrians by faith, the Persian, the Medes were. And they held fire to be sacred. And to have cremated him would have made a god out of him. So many who dedicated their living beings to fire did it as a worship to the gods. They didn't want to put him in the fire because that would be worshiping their god through that sacrifice. So they said, let's put him into a den of lions. Anyone who doesn't worship you for 30 days, it's interesting. They were suggesting that he be the god of the month. In this seventh verse, it's exactly what they said. For these 30 days, if anybody worships anyone else but you, O God, O King, they'll be thrown into the lion's den. Now, King, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. We have that same phrase today. You know how it is, the law of the Medes and the Persians, meaning it will never be changed, which may not be revoked. And so King Darius signed the agreement, that is the injunction. He thought it was a great idea. Naturally, he would. Now, what happened? Remember now our man Daniel, innocent, deserving of none of this, this sneaky conspiracy against him because he had done what was right. Now, Daniel, verse 10, when he knew that the document was signed. That's significant. He knew nothing of it, but we're reading in verse 10 of what he did when he first heard about that document. When he knew the document was signed, entered his house. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees 3 times a day. Praying and giving thanks before his God as he had been doing previously. I submit to you that's a most remarkable response to a death warrant. Here I find his fourth mark of integrity, his consistent walk with God. I think the most important part of the 10th verse, the last section, as he had been doing previously. Daniel did not turn to prayer in a time of panic only. He had been consistently on his knees 3 times a day before his God. By the way, remember, he is one of the top officials in the land. And he had time with God regularly. The psalmist writes, evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he will hear my voice. Isn't that a great psalm? Evening, morning, noon, I will pray. Daniel was no stranger to prayer. He didn't flaunt the fact that he was a man of prayer. Notice these windows were open. He didn't suddenly bang them open so everyone would know he was praying. There was an advertisement some time ago from one of the airlines that says, when you've got it, flaunt it. That may work for an airline, but it doesn't work for the child of God. When you've got it, don't flaunt it. because when you flaunt it, you don't have it. Daniel just quietly walked up to the chamber in his home, and again before God, he poured out his fear, his concern, his future, his life. Daniel's almost unreal, isn't he? Just very near unreal. You know something? We really have a low stress of pain as Christians. When things run along pretty well, we can stay fairly consistent. But when a little ripple comes in the water, suddenly we plunge. And we're back up a little bit when things get a little bit better, and then we may be a little high when things are well, and then suddenly another test comes and we plunge. The remarkable thing about Daniel is that as he had been doing previously, he simply went back to God as though, I think if that had an electrocardiogram, it just would read just same as always, just same as always. Like those astronauts. Just before the blast off, they ran that thing on them, and it just like the morning before when they were having breakfast. What else is new? Going around the earth. Ho-hum. Off they went. And Daniel, well, what else is new? What do you expect from the world? So when he heard about this news, just went right back to God. He told God on them. He had a place to meet. By the way, will you notice that he got on his knees? William R. Newell, he's a quaint expositor, in his writing, suggests that kneeling is a good way to pray because it's uncomfortable. The problem is that we pray in such a comfortable position, we just sort of drift off after a few sentences. Now try that. Jim Elliot has said, God is still on his throne and man is still on his footstool. There's only a knee's distance in between. Well, this man had been doing this as a habit of his life. He had a place to meet with God and he met. He consistently kept his life and his burdens at the throne. A more godly influence could not be found in the entire kingdom of Persia, and he was the man who was thrown in the lion's den. Let me share with you three things that I've learned from this passage. The first one is something that all of us can identify with. You will seldom get what you deserve from people. Now that applies to both criticism and honor. When you are genuinely deserving of honor, you will seldom get it from people. And when you are genuinely deserving of criticism, you will seldom get it, as you should. You will seldom get the understanding you should get from people. You'll seldom get the confrontation at the time you need it. Usually you'll get it at the wrong time. When the world administers its approach, it's usually wrong. You'll get promoted when you don't deserve it. You'll often get demoted when it isn't fair. You'll seldom get from people what you deserve, so don't expect it. Don't expect to get what you deserve from your fellow man. Second, you will always get what is best from God. Don't doubt it. The interesting thing about it is that it won't come in the package you expect. And it usually will be delivered late, as your timing works it. You expect God instantly to reward your acts, and he doesn't. He often, after your highest experience, will take you through the deepest valley, and then he will package for you a perfect best plan, and you'll see it when it's all past. As you look back, it's there. You'll seldom get what you deserve from people. Don't expect it. You will always get what is best from God. Don't doubt it, even though it may come slowly. Your ability to handle both is directly related to the consistency of your walk. Now that's the crux of this message. Daniel could handle the final injunction because he had been consistently walking with God.
Another compelling reason to walk faithfully and consistently with God. You're listening to Insight for Living, and a special one-day message from Chuck Swindoll based on Daniel chapter 6. He titled his presentation, The Marks of Integrity. As we conclude today's program, we'd like to pause for a moment and thank the management of your radio station for providing a spot in their lineup for Chuck Swindoll's Bible teaching. We count it a privilege to be among the teachers you hear each day. And if you enjoy Insight for Living, be sure to thank your station for including this program in their daily schedule. Then remember, in addition to hearing this program each day, Insight for Living produces a variety of free Bible study tools. We hope you'll take advantage of the many options online, including the daily study notes we call Searching the Scriptures. These are designed so you can type your personal observations directly into the online document, or print out multiple copies and use them in your small group Bible study. To access the Searching the Scriptures guide for each of Chuck's messages, go to insight.org/studies. And in the event you wish to learn more, go to insight.org. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888. Again, that's 1-800-772-8888. Recently, Chuck Swindoll sat down to speak with his friend and ministry colleague, Charlie Costa. Charlie is a modern-day Daniel and one of Insight for Living's field pastors. He lives in Lebanon, and he's the man who translates these daily programs into the Arabic language, so Chuck's teaching can be heard in the Middle East and beyond. To hear this special one-on-one conversation, we invite you to visit our website and stream the audio at your convenience. Just go to insight.org. Tomorrow, Chuck Swindoll presents a practical message on the power of extending grace, right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, The Marks of Integrity, was copyrighted in 1976, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2012 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.